the New York Yankees continue to roll. 9 straight wins, another series victory, and a sweep over the Minnesota Twins. We're going to talk about it and more on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Yankees continue to roll, winning yet another series, this one via a sweep of the Minnesota Twins, a series which was supposed to be 4 games, dwindled down to 3 due to the hurricane that is passing in the area. Sunday's contest was postponed, so the Yankees will have to wait to play that one until September. We'll catch up with that in just a bit. But nonetheless, 9 straight wins for the New York Yankees. They've won 16 of 19, 21 of 36, 31 of 42. And over their last 13 series, their only loss has come to the Red Sox. Remember, we've gone over this a couple of times. Right now, they have won 8 straight series. That's what you have to do in order to get back to where you expected to be. I think on July 4th, when the Yankees were sitting at a 500 level, none of us really expected them to be where they are right now. The Yankees currently sitting 20 games over 500. What a turnaround. It's been incredible. But nonetheless, they continue to win games. And we're going to talk about the 3 most recent games that they've picked up over the last couple of days. Before we get into that, reminder, follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND on Twitter, my personal account at Nick Delahanty. Also find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our podcast is available on all podcasting platforms. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, shows there available for you. Whatever platform works for you, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. All your feedback goes a long way in helping promote our brand. And of course, like I said a little bit earlier, we are a proud show under the Delahanty Media brand. Go to our website, DelahantyMedia.com, for all the latest news and updates on our show and more. Also, we have a new store coming out. Make sure you keep an eye out. I think you're all going to love the gear. Buy some gear. Help promote us. Free advertising. That's what I love about shirts. You can wear them all over the place. It's free advertising. Help get the word out. We definitely appreciate all the support that you've given us over this span of time and throughout the last 2 or so years that we've been on the air. So we hope you continue to do that, but let's get right into some Yankees baseball talk. Now, before the series started, on our last show, I mentioned how important it was for the Yankees to continue their success, especially against a Twins team that hasn't really been good this year. They are well under 500. It's not the Twins team that we've grown to know over the past couple of years. And let's not take anything for granted here. The Twins have been really good over the last couple of years. They've been one of the better franchises in the sport, but they haven't been able to get it done against the Yankees. The way I would like to put it, and I know this is kind of hard considering the fact that the Knicks did get to the finals when Jordan was back, but nonetheless, it's kind of like when Ewing didn't win a ring with the Knicks, right? Very good team. You can name a bunch of guys off of that, but with guys like Jordan and Olajuwon in his way, wasn't able to get it done. And that's what the Yankees have kind of been for the Twins, that kryptonite. They haven't been able to figure it out, and the Yankees have taken full advantage of that. Now, let's jump into the series. They go with an interesting lineup look, which Luke Voit called like the offensive line formation, which I thought was really funny. They opened up with their first 5 being Voit at DH, Rizzo at first, Judge in center, Gallo in left, Stanton in right. Pretty big top 5, if you ask me. Not your typical type of leadoff hitter in Luke Voit, but nonetheless, it worked. Yankees get ahead early. They score 4 runs in the 3rd inning. Couple of timely hits. They add another run on a Kyle Higashioka homer in the 4th. Then Jameson Taillon was rolling. Goes into the 6th, and the Twins finally capitalize. They scored 3 runs in the inning, a Cave homer, and a Polanco double, followed by a Polanco single in the 8th, cut the lead to 6-4. Now, the Yankees weren't done. Giancarlo Stanton hits a home run to right field, almost took a kid's head off. Absolute laser of a line drive. gave the Yankees a 7-4 cushion. Against Chad Green in the ninth, Miguel Sano hit a solo home run to cut it to 7-5, but that's all they would get. Yankees go on to win the first one, 7-5, and of course, the Yankees have shown us that they can't win games by more than two runs. It's always got to be a heartbreaker or a close call with them, but nonetheless, they get the job done. Touched on Tyone a little bit. He pitched into the sixth. Of course, that sixth inning was his kryptonite. Other than that, he was solid throughout. He's been throwing the ball a lot better lately, a lot more confident. If you look at the Yankees' bullpen, they got a huge inning and two-thirds out of Wandy Peralta. Seems like he's getting more and more in favor with Aaron Boone. He's been really good of late. He gets a hold in this one. Britton, a little struggles in the eighth. He lets up a run. And then, of course, we mentioned the Chad Green solo shot that he let up to Sano. Other than that, the Twins did nothing against him. So the pitching was relatively solid. Let's look offensively. We mentioned the Higashioka homer. A couple of guys would have hit a piece. The guys to make a note of. Bottom of the order. Velasquez, 2-for-3 with 2 runs scored. Higashioka, 2-for-3, 3 RBIs, 2 runs scored. We're going to talk about Velasquez later in the show. I'm going to hold off on that. But the bottom of the order, getting the job done. Luke Voit also had a hit and 2 RBIs in the leadoff spot. So a nice way to start the series for the Yankees. Obviously, you're rolling in with a win streak. You want to keep that going. And against the Twins team that you definitely feel that you're better than, they are able to take advantage of. We go into Friday night's game. Nasty Nestor Cortez on the mound. I laughed all week at the Cortez shirts that the pitchers were wearing throughout the batting practice. And they're just having a good time. And you could see they're really embracing everything with this club. And to have a little fun with the Cortez shirts, I think it was a really good chemistry builder. Not to say that they need much more chemistry at this point, but it shows that this group is really having a good time together. Cortez was brilliant. For the first time in his career, pitched 7 innings, season and career high, 104 pitches, struck out 7, only allowed 2 runs. He was phenomenal, and he had a cushion to work with. Yankees gave him 4 runs in the first, followed by 2 runs in the second, tacked on a couple of more throughout, and ended up winning this ballgame 10-2. So a great performance. Cortez was able to go out on the mound and do what Cortez does best. Be funky, you know, change things up, speed pitch, just use his smartness to get guys out. And that's what he was able to do. Was a really nice boost for the Yankees to have him go deep into this game. And as you've seen over time, it feels like the Yankees are more and more willing to stretch him out. Of course, he's battled for a rotation spot. And even though there's reinforcements that could be on the way, Cortez seems to be a lock to stay within the rotation. Now, let's go back to that first inning. A very big first inning at that. Luke Voit singled to left, making it 2-0. Voit wasn't done in this one. Then a great at-bat from Velasquez. He walks with the bases loaded, followed by a Brett Gardner single to left. Sanchez was thrown out at the plate. They could have had more in that inning, but nonetheless, you got to really be happy with the way they started off the game, batting around in the order. It didn't take long for them to tack on in the bottom of the second. You got an Aaron Judge homer to right, scoring LeMahieu, made it 6-0. Ground rule double from Voit in the fourth made it 7-0. Voit later homered in the seventh, followed by a LeMahieu homer in the eighth, and that's how the Yankees scored their 10 runs in the ballgame. Now, we mentioned Voit a lot. Let's start with him. 4-for-5, 4 RBIs, 2 runs scored for the first time in his career, had 4 hits and 4 RBIs. Oh, and he was playing first base with Anthony Rizzo getting the day off. Who said that that was going to be a problem with having him and Rizzo in the mix? Who knows? But LeMahieu, 2 hits, 3 runs scored, and 2 RBIs. Judge had 2 RBIs on the homer and scored 2 runs. You got 2 hits from Brett Gardner at the bottom of the order. They got contributions throughout. It was a nice, calming victory. And for me, to be quite honest with you, I love when the games are not stressful. We haven't had a lot of those this year. So when they do come, I relish them. And this one, I felt at ease. Cortez was cruising. They had a comfortable lead. The offense was doing their job. I felt very calm throughout. So knowing the radar, thinking that Sunday's game would get postponed, I'm sitting there saying, you know what? The Yankees definitely won the series. Go into game 3, pick up a sweep. And then if the game does get canceled, you have a sweep in your hands. But nonetheless, it was refreshing. It was nice to see. You know, Brett Gardner got hurt in this one. He got hit by a pitch. But again, they did the job and they just continue to roll. They're having fun with it and they're finding different ways to win each and every day. And the pitching's been phenomenal. We're going to talk more about that as the show rolls on. Let's go to Saturday afternoon's game. Gerrit Cole on the mound. Now, obviously, Cole was not as sharp as he's been. You know, we've seen Cole at his dominant side. And, you know, when he's rolling, you just know it. But even not with his best stuff, he still went six innings and did not allow a run. That's how good Gerrit Cole is. Got himself in and out of jams throughout the day. But as good as he is, he was able to figure it out. The pitching in general was fantastic. The only run scored was against Lucas Licky. He went two innings, followed by Abreu for the last inning. Yankees, once again, win a game that was not stressful and ended up being a 7-1 final. Again, Yankees get on the board first. Tyler Wade got him going in the bottom of the second inning with an RBI single. Then, in the bottom of the fifth, Wade scored on a Kenta Maeda wild pitch, followed by a Giancarlo Stanton double to make it 4-0, and a Luke Voit double. I feel like we've said his name about 9 times already on the show. Made it 6-0. And the kid from the Bronx, Andrew Velasquez, his first career home run in the bottom half of the 8th inning. You saw the reaction from his family sitting in the crowd. They were crying. Got chills just thinking about it. But again, Velasquez, we're going to talk about in a little bit. We have a little bit of bullet points regarding him. But nonetheless, what a feel-good moment. This Yankees team is rallying around the energy that guys like him are bringing. And once again, they capture a series sweep. All-around team effort, contributions from different guys. Of course, Voit's hot. He was 2-for-4. You got 2 hits from Giancarlo Stanton, 2 hits from Wade. So it's not like the same names are popping up throughout the mix. You're seeing a whole different crop of guys making an impact. So, ball game over, series over, Yankees win, the Yankees win. I definitely don't get tired of tweeting, start spreading the news after every single win, but it's becoming a lot and a lot more fun as they continue to rack up these victories. Now, I told you guys, we had a couple of bullet points that we want to talk about regarding the last stretch of games. We mentioned Stanton's homer that almost absolutely killed a young fan. Very scary to watch, but nonetheless, seemed like the kid was okay. Thank the good Lord that he was fine. Stanton's 65th homer as a Yankee moves him into a tie for 63rd on the franchise list with former third baseman Scott Brosius. Man, did I love Scott Brosius. That guy was awesome. Not a superstar, not a guy that was a marquee name, but man, did he get the job done and was he clutch when the Yankees needed him the most. We talked a little bit about Wandy Peralta. So far this season, he has stranded 13 of 16 inherited base runners as a Yankee. That's 81% of the runners that he's inherited. So when there's guys on base and his number has been called upon by Aaron Boone, he's been doing a great job. Over his last 8 games, he has thrown 10 and a third innings pitched, hasn't allowed a run, only 8 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts, and also has 2 saves throughout the process. So another great instance where Peralta has been fantastic out of this bullpen. And we've seen throughout the year, Aaron Boone has had to rely on different guys, not just Aroldis Chapman, Zach Britton, Chad Green, and Jonathan Loaisiga. It's been a mix of a bunch of different names. And for guys like Peralta, who the Yankees acquired in a low-risk, kind of high-reward type of move, it has certainly seemed to pan out so far for the Bronx Bombers. Now, earlier we talked about how the Yankees love to play close games. They're not a team that is going to blow many teams out. But in games that are decided by 1 or 2 runs this season, they have played 69 of those so far in 2021, the most in the majors. In those games, they have 46 victories. So they're 46-23 in those games. Again, most in Major League Baseball. They also have a .667 winning percentage in those games. The best in the game. So even though they're playing games that are close, most of the time they're coming out on top, which is a good thing to see. And in game one, we saw Chad Green pick up a save, right? Yankees pitchers at that point had recorded a save in 7 straight games. It's the longest streak in franchise history and also tied the longest streak in Major League Baseball history. Obviously, with games 2 and 3, they didn't need a save, so that streak ended at 7, but a little bit of an interesting tidbit for you as we continue to talk about some of the things that were very important in this series. Brett Gardner picked up his 563rd career RBI, which tied him with Phil Rizzuto for 36th in franchise history. Gardy's been around a long time, and it just seems like he came up in 2009, and, you know, I've been on this show, and you've heard me say, I don't want to see Gardner playing on an everyday basis, but he has been picking it up as of late, and with this team, you know, the way that this lineup is generated, you can get away with Gardner playing some days in center field. A lot different than the last lineup a couple of months ago before Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo came into town. Brief mention once again, this was the first time that nasty Nestor Cortez threw a pitch in the 7th inning or later as a starter. Again, a career high in pitches and innings pitched. Just phenomenal. What more can you say about Nestor Cortez? DJ LeMahieu hit a homer in this series. It was his first since June 26th. It was pretty cool that it also fell on the night of his bobblehead giveaway. So Friday night was DJ LeMahieu night, and he gave the fans a little fun as he hit a home run. His first in a very long time. And now the Yankees, 9 games in a row. We talked about how many wins they've been able to rack up recently. This is the first time that the Yankees have won a game by 4 or more runs versus an opponent that's not the Baltimore Orioles since July 18th against the Boston Red Sox. And the cool thing is they were able to do it twice in a row. So something they haven't been able to do a lot of this year, they did twice. Now, remember earlier in the year when Josh Donaldson was making comments about the whole sticky stuff and basically threw Gerrit Cole under the bus? Well, Donaldson's struggles against Cole continue. You could just tell that every time Donaldson comes up, Cole has a little bit more in the tank to give him. He's now 0-for-12 with 7 strikeouts against the Yankees ace. And with his last start against the Twins, Cole has now pitched 6 games with 6 or more innings of work and no runs allowed this season. That is the most among all American League pitchers. Now, here's something else that I thought was really interesting. The Yankees scored 5 runs in the 5th inning. This was only the 8th time that they scored 5 or more runs in an inning this season. For a team named the Bronx Bombers, that's really surprising. They no longer have the fewest 5 or more run innings in Major League Baseball. They have passed the Royals and the Mariners on that list. So they're starting to generate more offense, which is good. Now, I know you probably all saw it, but there was something really interesting that happened during Saturday's game. Rude Negodor is at the plate. He calls for timeout. Angel Hernandez grants timeout, but Odor doesn't think that he gets it. The pitcher actually throws the ball, and what does Odor do? He hits a home run. Crazy, right? Never saw that before. Obviously, it didn't count, but it was just a very comical moment because, you know, why else would it be? Something Rugi Odor could only pull off. Just fun. Comical. You got to love what Odor brings to the table. I say it on every show. I love the energy. I love the enthusiasm. And that was just another moment where you're like, how did he figure that out? And how did he do that? It's just so incredible to watch, especially if it was me and I call for timeout, my mental state is not thinking about hitting the ball. Odor hits one out of Yankee Stadium, so give him credit. I thought that was pretty cool, even though it didn't count. Luckily, the Yankees didn't need the runs. They had plenty of run support to work with. And when they score first, they're pretty darn good at winning games. Their last 14 games, they have won when they have been the team on the scoreboard first. So, pretty impressive if you're the New York Yankees. Now, before we get to our 2 standout performers, the Yankees' dominance against the Twins, talked about it a little earlier. Here's how it breaks down. They're 108-38 against the Twins since 2002, including 16-2 in the postseason. That's a .740 winning percentage, and it works out to 120 wins per 162 games. That's from James Smith, 621 on Twitter. And this is against a team that has been a playoff contender almost every single year over the last couple of years. So the Yankees have done a really nice job of winning games against this AL Central opponent. Now, before we wrap up the show and we get into the Yankees' upcoming schedule, Two guys I want to point out. Luke Voit, 7-game hitting streak. He has 14 RBIs over that span. Now, I get it. When the Yankees get a little more healthy, there are going to be decisions to be made. But the way that Giancarlo Stanton hits when he's in the field and has shown that he's very capable in right field, it gives Aaron Boone options to work with. We saw it a little bit in this series. Anthony Rizzo gets a day off. Voit plays a little left first. Then he DHs. Stanton plays right. Judge plays center. Gallo in left. And then late in the game when you have a lead, you sub Stanton out. You bring in a guy like Esteban Florio, who was optioned to the big leagues and then optioned right back down because of the Gardner injury. But you can use Brett Gardner in that situation. Heck, you could throw Tyler Wade in the outfield if you're not using him in the infield as well. So it gives the Yankees options. But Voit talked the talk by saying what he did to the reporters, but now he's walking the walk. And he's showing everybody why he is still a very competent hitter and a very important piece to this Yankees team. Yes, come the postseason, it may be a different story. You're going to play the hot hands. But right now, it makes a lot of sense to find ways to get his bat in the lineup with the guys they already have because of the way he's hitting the ball. So he's proving everybody right that never lost faith in him, right? He made the comments. It made people mad. People weren't happy that he came out and flat out said what he said. But you look at it now and you're saying to yourself, man, this guy wasn't lying. He's got a fire under him. He wants to prove that he's still one of the best first basemen in the league. And you got to laugh at the teams that turned down the Yankees trade offers at the trade deadline. I'm sure there are plenty of teams out there that could definitely use a bat like Luke Voit's. And finally, how can we not focus on Andrew Velasquez, the guy who is actually our cover for this episode? This is a great story. I'm sure you've heard it about 987 times, so I'm not going to go deep into it. But the thing you need to know, Bronx native, living out the dream of being a New York Yankee, and he's made the most of the opportunity. Yankees playing him every single day. He brings a spark, an energy. Defensively, you're watching games and the ball gets hit there and you're saying to yourself, okay, the play is being made. You don't feel that when Gleyber Torres is out there. No offense to Gleyber, but it's just the fact. And he just has an energy, the way he's able to steal bases and just everything this guy has done has brought such an energy to this clubhouse, and it makes you think, and you hate to be a pessimistic person about this, but how long does it last? Well, my answer is this. You ride it until it doesn't last. It's working. Don't fix what isn't broken. Yes, you have Urshela coming back. Yes, you have Gleyber eventually coming back, but ride this kid until you can't ride him no more. You don't know what you have fully until you've seen it. And the way he's playing definitely has earned an everyday spot in this Yankees lineup. So I would keep penciling him in at shortstop every day. You know, maybe you give Wade a day here or there. Wade's been hitting too, but I think the Yankees could use him in different spots, give other guys days off. But Velasquez has been simply incredible. And we think about stories from the past, right? You get a guy like Aaron Small, for my Yankee fans that have been here for a long time. One guy like that you bring in through your minor league system that can give you a spark when you need it the most, like a Nestor Cortez. Those guys are the ones that down the road help you get to where you want to be, and that is to another World Series championship. I love what I see from Velasquez. I love the energy, the passion, and for all of us that have dreamed of being a New York Yankee, he's living out his dream, and it's something that's very special to watch. Now, with the rain postponement on Sunday, the Yankees have a day off before they head to Atlanta to take on the Braves in a 2-game set. This is a big one for the Yankees. The Braves are playing great baseball. It would be really nice if they could get 2 wins on this brief little road trip. It's still to be determined about the pitching. Right now, it looks like Montgomery in Game 1 and Heaney in Game 2. There's a possibility the Yankees may use Luis Gil at some point. We don't know. They do have an open spot on their active roster to play with, so we'll have to wait and see. They'll have off on Wednesday before they head to Oakland for another very big series on the West Coast. Now, with the rain out, the Yankees will make up the game against the Twins on September 13th, which wipes out an originally scheduled off day, they will play 20 games in 20 days in the month of September. After having off on September 2nd, they will play every day until September 23rd. That will be their next off day. And again, it doesn't really help the Yankees losing the off day, but it's at a good time in the schedule. Why? They play the Mets on the road the 3 days before. Then they go back to the Bronx for this brief game. It's an afternoon game. And they go to Baltimore. So travel isn't too crazy. It's not like you're going to the West Coast between it. But it does alter the Yankees' schedule just a little bit as we go down the stretch. All these games definitely have a lot of meaning to them. Especially now that the Yankees are right in the thick of the, not only the wild card, but the American League East Division race as well. But hey, we're going to need Tampa to start losing some games. Even though we're four games out in the division, the Rays are playing just as good at baseball as the Yankees. Seems like they can't catch a break. But nonetheless, all we can control is what the Yankees do. And of course, we'll be here to talk about it. Make sure you stay tuned for all the latest news and updates regarding our show. And of course, as news and updates come along, you know we'll be here to talk about it. Once again, this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Remember, as always, let's go Yankees. Let the good times roll. We'll talk to you really soon, everyone.